Mike Sider that, and that scores! Matty McDonald!
And over at that Flame bench, there's all kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flame.
Andrews, put it in the wind column!
Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby!
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, happy Monday. We are underway. It's Monday, April 15th. This hour of Flames Talk is underway. Wes from Post Media, Steinberg along with you. Another week begins. The final week of the regular season begins here in Calgary. Welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Simplify your life with a security ecosystem. Go to CalgaryLockandSafe.com to request a security audit and get a tailored solution. Lots to get to this hour on Flames Talk, Daily Flames Roundtable. A little bit later on, Milestone Watch and a whole lot more. Flames have recalled Adam Klapka. We'll get into all of that as we move along this hour, but we're kicking off this hour by going inside hockey for Calgary Co-op. This hockey season, support local, find your all-time classics and locally brewed beers. Visit your local Calgary Co-op wine, spirits, beer today. And we're going inside hockey with the director of goaltending of the Calgary Flames, Jordan Sigalette, who joins us right now after the Flames signed Swedish goaltender via Finland. Finnish goaltender, but has just finished his season in Sweden's second league. Valtteri Ignatiu has joined the Flames on a one-year contract for next season at $870,000. A really intriguing player. We'll get into that with Jordan. Lots of Dustin Wolf and a whole lot more as Jordan joins us now. Hello, Siggy. How are you?
I'm awesome. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing well. I know that this is, you've been, had this circled on your calendar, haven't you? Like, this is a pretty big day for you.
What, the signing or talking to you guys?
No, talking to us. The signing's whatever, but talking to us. We're happy to have you. What's been going down? How's the goaltending department been over the last little bit? There's been a lot of moving parts, hey?
Yeah, there has. No, it's been good. You know, I get to see a lot of Dustin Wolf in the NHL at the end of the year here, and obviously the signing today, and it's always exciting times. So he's a guy, you know, we watched since early in the season, and lucky to get him in the fold.
Well, let's maybe start with Dustin. I remember Wes and I had you on, a year ago almost, when Dustin made his NHL debut, and it was a real proud moment, a real cool moment for you, and watching him play that first game in the NHL. And now here he is, finishing out the year with nothing but NHL time. He's won his last three starts. How impressed are you with Dustin Wolf and how he has acclimated himself to being a full-time NHLer here down the stretch?
Yeah, obviously he's been impressive at every level he's played, and you know, now it's a learning process for him at a guy his size to try and show people he can do it at the NHL level, because there's always going to be doubters like there was in the WHL and the American Hockey League, and you know, he's continued to, you know, prove people wrong. So I think it's going to be a bit more of a learning curve, which you've noticed, you know, there's some ups and downs. And the big thing with him is just understanding his depth management at the NHL level, when to be aggressive to cut down angles, when he can be more conservative. And, you know, I think he's been learning that as he goes.
The size thing is a really interesting conversation, because sometimes on the outside, and you're the goalie guy, so correct us if we're wrong, but I sometimes find that can be a somewhat lazy narrative. Well, oh, that goal went in. Must be because Dustin's smaller than this goalie or that goalie. Look, we all understand that it's a factor, but there are ways that, and there are things that Dustin does that kind of make it or mitigate it as a factor, right? Like, how much of a factor really is it now that we're seeing him succeed and win hockey games at the NHL level?
Yeah, it's a funny storyline, because there's probably a couple saves last night that, you know, some of our other goalies might not stop. So he's going to stop some the big guys can't get to, and, you know, he might get beat on the odd small goalie goal on a really good shot that maybe hits, you know, one of Dan Vladar or Jacob Markstrom. So you're going to see that once in a while on him, but he's going to learn. He's going to adapt. He's always adapted at every level. I always joke around, because no one talks about a goal going in on the ice on Markey or Vladar and saying they're too big and couldn't get down on the ice in time. So
yeah.
I think Dustin, you know, he's not big in today's game, but He reads the game and the shot so well, and he's so quick and competitive, and he's just such a smart goalie that he's going to find a way.
We hear so much about, you know, the learning opportunities for any young player. And so as we focus in on Dustin, who we know to sort of be a student of the game, can you take us behind the scenes? Like, how do you use an NHL start as a learning opportunity? What happens, whether it's video breakdown, whether it's meetings with the coaching staff, what happens after each of these quote unquote learning opportunities to make sure that they're helping Dustin sort of advance in his pursuit of his ultimate goal?
Yeah, every rep is huge, especially when you're in a new league. You're learning, you know, new players' tendencies and, you know, what other teams' tendencies are, which you're not used to seeing when you're playing in the American Hockey League. You might know the odd young player that's up, but you're learning the whole league again, which he's kind of had to do at every level. And video is huge for that. You know, him and Jason LaVarva touch on video all the time. And just the practice reps at this level, getting to see a Jacob Markstrom or Dan Vladar, you know, how they prepare for practice, their work ethic in practice, how they prepare for games, you know, just watching those guys as a young goalie is going to go a long way in his development.
How cool was it to see Dustin get a win in his old stomping grounds of San Jose, knowing grandma was there, knowing he used to attend games in that rink? How cool was that moment?
Yeah, it's pretty special. And even just to get his first win against that team at home last year at the end of the year, and then to do it there. And I know he'd had some games and wins playing for Stockton in that arena before, but obviously a different feeling at the NHL level. And, you know, always proud of him. And, you know, win or lose, he's always got a great attitude and always trying to learn and get better. And even last night in kind of a 1980s 6-5 score there, like, nothing fazed him. You know, he shut the door in the third and didn't let it get to him.
You know, it's listening to you and having talked with you throughout the season and just your observations on Dustin, you know, the adjustment to the NHL, like, he's winning games and he's had some really solid outings. He's had ones that he's had some bad luck. He's had some nights that he'd like to have back. But I'm just like, what are, and you touched on it a little earlier, but what are some of the things that he's going to just get better at based on time in the NHL? You know, there's things that you can get better at by working on and focusing on, but what are the areas that you just naturally get better at because you're playing at the highest level and practicing at the highest level every day?
A lot of it's just timing. You know, earlier in the season, he was going up and down and really had no rhythm, you know, to get in games. And now that he's had a run, you can see his timing getting better and his adjustments to traffic situations, you know, bigger bodies, guys are a lot hungrier around the net. So, you know, he's going to make those adjustments too, just trying to find sight lines and windows through traffic. And you see him adapting to that already. And like I said before, it's going to be the depth. When guys are between the dots, they can shoot it a lot better at that level. So it's, you know, when to step out a couple inches and, you know, when he can step back and take a bit more, stay in his paint a bit more. And he tracks the puck so well and reads the release so well that as a smaller guy, and get away with playing a little bit deeper. But at this level, he's going to have to be a little bit more aggressive.
And I guess the interesting angle in all of this is that he's going back to the American League to play playoff hockey, which will not be a demotion. His regular season in the NHL will come to an end, but then he's got an opportunity to play more high leverage hockey. What's that adjustment going to be like? As a guy who's played at different levels, what's it going to be like going the other way after so much time in the NHL and then heading back to the American League and playing important games there?
Yeah, it's honestly almost as hard as an adjustment. It's a little bit more scrambly, and you're going to have to adjust to different situations and different style of play. And but it speaks to his character. As I spoke to him last week and just said, you know, there's a chance he could go down and play playoffs, and he was all about it. He was hungry and excited about, you know, getting a chance to go after a Calder Cup. So he wasn't disappointed and didn't think he was too good for it. And again, it just, you know, speaks to the kind of person, player he is.
Jordan, we played a really interesting clip from Jacob Markstrom in the first hour. You know, he was asked today about Dustin Wolf and provided a really insightful answer about some of the things that have impressed him, you know, the way he locked it down after giving up three quick ones in Anaheim, stuff like that. And you know, I'm curious. It's got to be tough. You're the 34-year-old workhorse, go-to guy, and everyone in town's talking about the kid who's angling to eventually take your job. How have you seen Jacob handle? Obviously, he's got his own starts as well, but how have you seen him sort of take on a mentorship role with Dustin?
No, he's been great with it so far, and you just see it after games or whether there's a TV timeout in between whistles, just the conversations they have. And at the end of the day, it's going to make Jacob a better goalie, because anytime you get a younger guy that wants your job and trying to steal your job, you can't be comfortable, and you got to keep your foot on the gas and not take a breath. And at the same time, he's not a guy that wants Dustin to struggle. He wants to see him succeed, and that's important to have in a tandem of goaltenders.
Is that the type of thing that you as coaches are trying to cultivate, or does that just happen naturally?
I think it just happens naturally. Like, you see it in every position. You know, a young guy comes up and they're hungry, and there's a lot of adrenaline in their game, and you know they want to be an NHL player full time, so they're gonna do anything they can to, you know, try and earn that opportunity. And those older guys, you know, they don't want to lose their job, so they're gonna push that much harder, and makes the whole team better.
Calgary Flames director of goaltending, Jordan Sigalette is with us here on Flames Talk this hour. And, you know, there's the Dustin Wolf angle, which has been really interesting to watch and has been a great story. Got to tell us a little bit more about the newest member of the organization. Monday morning, the Flames made official a signing out of the Swedish Second League, Finnish goaltender Valtteri Ignatiu signed to a one-year contract for next season. Do you have any idea how close I am to saying that properly, Siggy, or am I in the ballpark?
Really, we just signed him so that Connie would have difficult saying another name. So I think you're pretty bang on there. It's Valtteri Ignatiu. So
Ignatiu, okay.
Yeah. No, he's a guy I started watching early in the year when, you know, the Europeans start playing their leagues. I kind of scour all the different leagues, and you're looking at certain ages, like the 22, 23, 24-year-olds that, you know, have had some success, and, you know, they're free agents, and, you know, where they are, what their upside looks like. And he was a guy, after I watched his first game, I immediately reached out to his agent and just wanted to dig in on the player a little bit. And then I kept watching him, and the more I watched him, the more I kind of fell in love with the player. And then getting to go over there in December, seeing him live, you know, taking him out for dinner, get to know him a little bit, got to meet his dad, got to meet his agent. And, you know, he's just a high character kid that has always dreamed about playing in North America, never had the chance. So, you know, there's a bunch of teams interested in him at the end, and even some top Swedish league teams. And lucky he picked us, and we're excited, you know, what he could bring to the organization.
I'm so fascinated because, you know, I was telling this story last hour, like, you know, you'll get to Winsport when the Flames are practicing at Winsport. That's also where the Wranglers are headquartered during the regular season. And there you'll just see Siggy in his regular spot in the hallway on a laptop watching something. And I'm always
watching a game, not like,
no, he's
Netflix.
Usually on Netflix.
Yeah.
No, he's just, Love is Blind. Like, no, you're always watching some game somewhere, something archived. You're like, what are you watching today, Siggy? You're like, oh, this league I've never heard of before. And you've always got your eye on somebody. And I find it so fascinating, you know, what your job has entailed since getting bumped up a number of years ago to this director of goaltending job. So you find Ignatiu, and you're like, oh, this guy catches your eye. So when you're watching a game and you're scouring and you're seeing all these different games from different leagues, what is it that catches your eye? What are you seeing that you're like, oh, this is a guy that I actually want to pursue, or this is a guy I'm intrigued by and I want to learn more about? Like, what are you seeing that jumps off the page?
It was a similar gut feeling I got when I first saw David Riddick on video in the Czech League. You just get a gut feeling that, like they have a presence in the net. Both of them aren't playing on the greatest team in their leagues, and they're a difference maker night in and night out, and their consistency. And when you watch Valtteri, he's got a presence to him. He's 6'3". There's an aura about him. Just confidence beams off of him when he plays. And he played 45 out of the 52 games for his team this year, which is a lot. And the consistency he had, like putting the same game on the table every night and giving that team a chance to win and then carrying them in playoffs. And, you know, I liked him 1-2 games in the season. And then by year's end, he's goalie of the year and carrying his team on his back. So it was fun to see. And you know, you never know how they're going to be once they come over. The game's different. The ice is smaller, so you got to wait and see how it's all going to translate. But, you know, I think with him, he's got the right head on his shoulders. He's a confident guy, and I think he's going to come over and try and make a statement.
Well, and you're the first NHL team on him. It's early in the year, but you can't sign a guy now until March 1st for the following season. So now you're looking at this guy and you're evaluating and you make the decision, okay, this is a guy that we want to sign. But then all of a sudden, maybe other teams are in on it, as you said, like top teams in the Swedish number one league in the SHL or other NHL organizations are in on it. So how do you navigate that when you've got a guy, you really like him, you think he's a good fit, you're the first one there, but how do you navigate making sure that he chooses the first team that he's spoken to?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, there's times in other situations where you're the first team into, or you're one of the teams in the mix and you lose out on guys. It's happened numerous times, and, you know, there's always that chance you lose the guy, but, you know, you're going to do your best just to build a relationship, you know. So it was texting with him a lot and staying in touch with the agent, just letting them know what the opportunity would be over here for him and, you know, what our system looked like. I really pushed our development coach, Mackenzie Skapski, because I believe he's the best in the league. Just the stuff he's done with Oscar Dansk and Wolfie and Murphy. And so I think that'll be huge for his development. And then the big thing was flying over there, watching a couple of games near Stockholm. And then I actually drove 3 hours with Walteri and his dad back to Mora, where he plays in his hometown. Got to go watch a practice, just spend time with him and his dad. And so it was important to get to know him as a person, not just, you know, what he does on the ice.
How's his driving?
I drove.
How was your driving?
It was pitch black by 2 p.m. there, and there was a moose on the side of the road. Like, there's speed cameras every mile, so it was a little nerve-wracking. It was snowing, but I made it there, and I made it back. So
isn't that like that? Just Wes has got more on your new play, but isn't that the worst part about driving? You think there's cops patrolling the QE2? Imagine driving, and there are speed cameras everywhere on a European highway. Like, you're always watching over your back. Like, did I go too fast through that one? It's even worse driving in Europe.
Yeah, I was a little nervous getting my last paycheck to see how many deductions were going to come out for tickets in Sweden. But Walt had a good eye, and he was tracking those speed cameras pretty good on the way. And, you know, he gave me the heads up. So.
You can tell who has the lead foot between Pat and I, because I was more worried about the moose when you mentioned those. He's worried about the speeding ticket.
Yep.
Yeah, it was an interesting drive, but beautiful country, and it was really cool to be over there and be in his home rink and, you know, just see him in his element.
When you head over for, I guess, a scouting trip like that, you know, the one thing that fascinates me is you don't have many contract slots for goalies. You don't have many organizational slots. Like, you can't kind of sign a bunch of guys and just see who works out. So you head over in December to Sweden to meet a prospect you've kind of targeted. What are you hoping to gain, whether it's what you see on the ice, what you learn over dinner, you know, what you find out on that 3-hour drive? What are you hoping to gain or maybe reinforce on a trip like that?
Well, first off, it's just the league in itself. You know, you see some of those leagues on video, and you want to be able to compare them to the American League, the East Coast Hockey League, different junior leagues, just to get a real feel, you know, what the speed's like and, you know, how he fits in there and how he would adjust to the levels over here. So that was key. And then, honestly, like when I first got over there, I said to him, I said, I know you as a goalie. I said, I don't care if you let in 7 or 8 tonight. I already know what you are. I like you. I'm here to just get to know you as a person and, you know, see what your goals are, what drives you. And, you know, that was kind of a sealer for me, you know, seeing what the league was like and then just the character of the kid, and every box got checked.
You mentioned David Rittich. You know, that's a success story for you as director of goaltending and the organization. You find this unknown prospect in the Czech league. You get him signed. He ultimately spends 5 seasons or parts of with the Flames, represents the organization at an all-star game. I'm curious, you know, as you look at the sort of roadmap from unsigned prospect in one of the European leagues to potentially getting to live out that dream of playing in the NHL, what does it take to get from point A to point B?
Well, I think a lot of it goes back to the character. Like when David came over, he was just so hungry and so driven, and the work ethic he put in, and you know, for him to have spend the time he did with us, and then, you know, the little bit of time he was in the American Hockey League and still in the league today having success, and for us to get him for nothing and then gave us some good games and to flip him for a third round pick, you know, you're getting an asset out of a guy that wasn't a draft pick and didn't cost you anything to get. So, you know, it's going to be a lot of it's going to be up to Walt and, you know, what he does this summer, what he does in training camp when he comes in. Hopefully we can get him to Penticton to get some games, just to get his feet wet in North America and adjust to the style of play over here. And, you know, he's got the contract now, but now a lot of it's in his hands.
Yeah. And so an opportunity for him to fight for American League time next year. And depending on how things go, there's lots of balls in the air, but there's going to be potential AHL time up for grabs next year. Hey.
Yeah, 100%. You know, there's a lot that can happen this summer. Obviously, we've got three goalies capable of playing the NHL, and, you know, we still got to make a decision on, you know, Oscar, and we got Murphy under contract for another year, as well as Matt Radomski, and still got Arseniy Sergeyev that just transferred to Penn State, and then Igor Igorov over in Russia. So it's some good depth in the system right now, and it makes for some hungry competition.
Take a look at Igorov's numbers as well. We'll talk about that another day, because that looks pretty promising for your most recent draft pick between the pipes. Jordan Sigalet is with us, director of goaltending for the Calgary Flames. Okay, couple of housekeeping items. First of all, since Dan Vladar was shut down for the season with his hip surgery, haven't got an update on how things are going and how the recovery process has gone. Where are we on Dan Vladar as the surgery's been done? But how was the surgery and how are things progressing for Dan?
No, he's doing well. You know, he went to New York and got the surgery done, and, you know, you see him walking around now and feeling good, and it's just going to be a little bit of a long process for the rehab, just to, you know, get all the motion back and the range back. But the nice part about doing it now is he's got time. He doesn't have to rush it, and he'll be ready for training camp this coming season.
Okay.
Next season.
Okay. So that's good to hear. Glad that everything is on track there. And the last piece of housekeeping business would be, you mentioned Arseniy Sergeyev, who is transferring next year. He entered the transfer portal a couple of weeks ago in the NCAA after two seasons at UConn, chose Penn State as his school for year three in the NCAA. Take us into how this all came about. How come Arseniy is moving schools south of the border?
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, it was a tough decision because, you know, he liked it at UConn, liked the coaches, the goalie coach, and it was just a year where if he had a good game, he really didn't earn the opportunity to get the second game on a weekend. He ended up playing one game less than last year, still had a really strong year for his sophomore season, but he had a tough game in November and ended up, you know, sitting nine in a row, which is a long time in college. And so it was just conversations between myself and the agent at first, and then when the season ended, you know, we talked to Arseniy as well and thought a fresh start would do him good. So he entered the portal, and he honestly, the attention he got in the portal was overwhelming. There was about 15 teams that wanted his services, and it was just trying to find the right spot where it wasn't going to be handed to him, but he was going to have a more opportunity to earn starts and play more, because in a college season, when you're playing 35 to 40 games, you know, those starts are important, especially for his development. And we think he's going to have that chance at Penn State. They should be a good team and should have the chance to be his net there. So we're excited about that. And, you know, we'll keep our eye on him and, you know, eventually hopefully sign him after one or two more years.
Yeah. Who are you, what goaltender are you taking in this year's draft? Why don't you just tell us now.
Well, I've made the pitch to Connie to take one in every single round, and one will pan out for sure. So he's not too excited about that idea, but I think it's a great plan.
There's all those conditional picks, though. You got plenty.
Yeah, there's so much room this year. Thank you, Siggy.
It's a good draft, and always exciting time. So he put a lot of work into preparing for those, and looking forward to the last in-person one in Vegas.
Yeah, I know. That's devastating for other reasons. We'll talk about that another day as well. Thank you, Siggy. Good to catch up with you, as always, my friend. Great insight, as always, too. That was awesome. Thanks for spending some time with us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
Jordan Sigalet is the director of goaltending for the Calgary Flames. I find the guy's job fascinating. There's not a lot of these. There are others, other NHL teams that have a similar goaltending department, but not a lot of them. And, you know, the different teams have goaltending specialists, but Jordan Sigalet's job day in and day out is to look at one position only. And this is one of those things that, was created under the prior GM with Brad Treliving and has carried into the next regime under Craig Conroy. And Craig is full on with the understanding that it's a different position than anything else. And
the idea that you would have the same guys scouting right wingers as goalies, it just, and not that your scouts can't put in their two cents, but you need those experts on what is the weirdest position in sports.
Is there a more unique position crossed with important position in all of professional sports? Like you think about football. Well, yeah, the long snapper is pretty unique, and you got to be good at long snapping. I'm not trying to diminish Chevy if you're listening. I'm not diminishing the long snapper, but I'm just saying, like,
now you've done it.
Yeah, Chevy. Have you seen Randy Chevrier lately? That man will tear me in three. But I'm not like, you know, long snapper is more of a niche role than a goaltender is, right? And same with even a kicker. As important as a kicker is in football, and as many games rest on a place kicker's shoulders, you still have a quarterback and a receiving core and running backs that are doing the bulk of the scoring for you. There's nobody else that's stopping pucks, Mackenzie Weegar notwithstanding. There's nobody else stopping pucks. It's so much different than the other positions in the sport, and it's so important on top of that. I find it just so bizarre. And yeah, you need a I honestly believe you need a department to handle that position and that position only.
And they've got a great track record, right? We talked about David Riddick. I know Artem Zagadoulin may not be a name that is going to go down in Flames history, but that's another guy you signed for nothing out of Europe who went on to play NHL games, who gave you a bunch of a quality starts in the American Hockey League. You found Dustin Wolf with a handful of picks left in the National Hockey League draft. Like that goaltending department has so far been worth its weight in gold for the Calgary Flames.
That is our look inside hockey for Calgary Co-op. Let's go local Calgary, from best from the West, Canadian produce to quality only Alberta meats. Find your local at Calgary Co-op. Shop online or in store today.
Flames Talk is on the air and streaming on the Sportsnet mobile app. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Time now for a Monday edition of our Daily Flames Roundtable for Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. Hey, race into spring with a freshly cleaned car. Book one of the 32 service bays at MercedesBenzCountryHills.ca and they'll revitalize your exterior paint finish. Wrapping up this hour, Steinberg, Wes Gilbertson, now the voice of the Flames, Derek Wills, joins us to complete our Daily Flames Roundtable. Gents, lots of milestones in reach. I won't run through them all because we'll just let them kind of organically come to the surface as we have this conversation. But there are some significant individual milestones in reach in the final two games of the regular season this week. What of all those milestones, is there one that jumps off the page to you most? Is there one that you're most dialed into going into the final six periods of the season?
Well, it won't be going into the final six periods of the season. It will hopefully be going into the final three periods of the season, but I would love to see the winner of the Peter Maher Good Guy Award for a second straight year, Blake Coleman, get to 30 goals. First of all, he's just an unbelievable guy. And we got to see the other day, I think he's a pretty good dad too. And he juggled his two daughters accepting the Peter Maher Good Guy Award from the Hall of Fame broadcaster himself. But he's just had such an outstanding season on the ice. And you know, guys on the wrong side of 30 generally don't have career years, but he's had a career year. And it looked like a certainty that he would get 30 goals, but then he got injured. And now we're hoping that he'll have one more opportunity to score one more goal and get to 30. And Hey, the Flames actually have three guys who could score 30 goals. Yegor Sharangovich already has 30. Blake Holman's got 29. And with his recent hot streak, so does Nazem Kadri. So it would be kind of cool to see three guys on this team score 30 goals. But for me, it's Blake Holman, just an outstanding human being and a heck of a hockey player, too.
I think it would be awesome to see Blake Holman score 30. Obviously, the winner of the Peter Margood Guy Award, absolutely deserving, which tells you how appreciated he is by the media for the way he makes our jobs a little bit easier. But the milestone guys that I want to see more than any other is Mackenzie Weegar becoming the first player in NHL history to score 20 goals and block 200 shots in the same season. Because anytime you're talking about something that's never been done, and yes, this only goes back about 20 years to when they started tracking block shots, but that's sort of when we started seeing more and more block shots anyways. I'm not sure anyone was getting into the 200 range too much before then. I just think anytime you're talking about something that has never been accomplished before, that milestone reaches another level. There are, and this is some information I dug up as I was looking into this. There's two players in NHL history that have 20 goals and 200 block shots in a season, but not the same season at any time in their careers. There's only two guys who have hit both numbers throughout their careers, and it's Erik Karlsson and Roman Josi. And so if Mackenzie Weegar could accomplish both in the same winter, I just think that would be a really neat distinction. I think that would be real something really special. He hit 200 block shots last night, needs one more for 20, and I'm rooting for him to get it done.
Yeah, you know, just because I want to, there's also the other Weegar one of setting the new Flames record of even strength goals in a year. He's tied with Al MacInnis's franchise record of 16. So see if he can get his 20th goal at even strength, and he can set two marks at the same time, which would be pretty cool. Guys, I you know, you're both, there's really no losers here. It just gives me an opportunity to hit the last one. Nazem Kadri hitting 30 would be pretty neat. And I know he's done it before. It won't be like Blake or Sharangovich, who are hitting 30 goals for the first time in their career. But, you know, it's been a little while since he was a member of the Toronto Maple Leafs, since Nazem has hit 30 goals. He didn't even hit 30 the year that he got 87 points in Colorado. He was a 28-goal scorer that year. And I think that would be another neat little check mark on the season. He's already put up the second most points he ever has in the NHL season. He's been Calgary's MVP or right near the top of that list all season long. And, you know, as Wes pointed out to Nazem on Sunday night post game, you know, last week, the week before, when we were talking about, oh, geez, there's some guys close to 30 here. Hey, Blake. Hey, Yegor. Like, there's some. Nobody was asking Nazem Kadri those questions a week or two ago. Yet this heater he's been on, the third star of the week with four goals and 8 points in four games last week. Well, he's a goal away from 30 as well. And I just think any time you can give another thumbs up or another salute to Nazem Kadri and just how damn good he's been this year, I think it's worthy. So, honestly, I hope we get all of them for our sakes. Great to talk about, and it's good to have some positivity as this team plays out the string in what has generally been a disappointing season. So I'm hoping that Kadri can hit that as well, because I just appreciated so much what he's done for this team this year.
Yeah, those are both really good ones. And Wes, that's some good detective work to find that stuff on the 200 block shots and the 20 goals. And that would be a really cool one. And yeah, Kadri, in my opinion, has been the Flames' most valuable player. And I've just come around on that recently, because for most of the season, Jacob Markstrom was that guy for me. I'm going to throw one more out there. This one's a little bit off the board and maybe one that you guys or few people have thought about. But with potentially a change as far as the goaltending goes for this franchise during the offseason, and with so many people excited about what Dustin Wolf has accomplished at every level and is hoping to accomplish again at the NHL level, I'd love to see him get his first shutout. And he's going to have an opportunity to do that against his hometown team, the Sharks, in the regular season finale which is ironic because he made his NHL debut versus the team that he grew up cheering for, final game of last season. So, you know, he's had a couple of games where I did wonder after a period or two if he was going to get that first goose egg in the NHL, and it hasn't happened yet. But wouldn't it be something if he could do it against the Sharks, being a kid from Gilroy, California, 33 miles from San Jose. So just another one that I'll be watching for, assuming he starts in the regular season finale on Thursday.
While we're just padding out the list, I'm going to add one of my own. I'd love to see an Adam Klapka first goal.
A clapper?
Clapper, Klapka. Rebound, deflection, whatever. But I'll take anything.
Thank you for no selling that. Thank you so much. I'm so, like, please don't.
No.
Please don't give him any.
Wilsey was just praising my research. We got to stick together here. Sorry about that, Wilsey. I got you, buddy.
Thank you. Yeah, you know what, Pat? You're just Debbie Downer lately. Every time I try to have fun, you just shoot me down.
I don't know if you caught the end of the last segment where Pat was taking on long snappers and liberos, but he's got a lot to get off his chest.
I've got more important things to deal with than some Wilsey jokes. the amount of times, especially the last month, because it always goes, as we're doing games, it always goes Derek on the left, Mick in the middle, and then me on the right, and the amount of times he says something and then immediately looks over at me and I'm just shaking my head. now I really am not. There's, even if it's funny, I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to shake my head.
You know what?
I give you the pleasure. Less for our listeners and more for my broadcast partners, because you know it's been a tough season. Road games are tougher than home games, and we're trying to entertain our listeners. And let's be honest, we're trying to entertain each other and ourselves. So, I don't succeed at that very often, but I keep trying.
Wilsey, buddy, I have no clout around here, but I promise if there's a clapper first goal call, we'll play it on Flames Talk. I'll ask one of the guys who knows how the buttons work to make that happen. That rules out me and I think Shan.
It definitely rules out Shan.
Oh, wow. Shots fired. Just a drive-by for Shan there. Wow.
He's... What a beautiful man, an asset to our radio station. Derek's with us. It's Wes. It's Pat. Shen is here apparently as well. Daily Flames Roundtable on this Monday. Poor Shan. Speaking of Adam Klapka, he got the recall on Monday, and sounds like he's going to play the final two games just based on the way Ryan Huska put it on Monday following practice. How are we feeling about Klapka playing on a regular basis? How are we feeling about how close he is to feeling to playing rather on a regular basis?
I don't know. I have to wait and see how he looks. Assuming he plays in the last two games in his next two NHL games. I didn't think he was ready for prime time last time he played for the Flames, but he's gone down and he's had a really good season for the Wranglers. And I must admit, he's been a little bit off my radar when I was thinking about guys who the Flames could potentially call up for the final handful of games, and now we're down to the final two games now. You know, I thought about Jacob Pelche. I thought about Jeremy Poirier. I didn't really give a lot of thought to Adam Klapka, and I should have, because he is now tied for the team lead in goals with 21. He now leads the team in points with 45, and he is a massive man. Just ask the Flames' number three PR guy, Jordan Bay. He's literally twice Jordan's size at 6'8", 235 pounds. Now, and maybe it's just because he's big and you always want big guys to use that size to their advantage. I would love to see him be a little bit meaner at the NHL level. And I'm not sure that that is how he's wired, but I do think that that would help him get to this league and stay to this league, because he's a big guy. And I think he could be a pretty intimidating guy to play against. And I'm not saying he's got to drop the gloves and fight everybody. I'm not saying that he's, you know, got to try to hit guys into next week. But, you know, if he gets in there on the forecheck and does some banging and crashing and goes to the front of the net, I think he'd be a tough guy to move. So I am anxious to see him. Obviously, this is a team in transition and is getting younger, and I think will continue to as we head towards next season. And he's an interesting guy because he was pretty raw when he joined this organization, and I think he's come a long way in 2 years.
I'm really fascinated, guys, by what sort of developed on the right side of the Flames forward depth chart. And that was a position, right wing specifically, that it felt like this team just had no depth going into this season. And yet now you look, you've got Andre Kuzmenko on a, you know, an epic heater to end this season. That's a right-handed shot who I think is best utilized on the right wing. You've got Martin Pospisil currently playing the left side, but a guy who has played the bulk of his rookie season on the right wing and proven what an impact he can make with his physicality and his speed, especially. You've got Yegor Sharangovich, who I think has looked most comfortable of any of the positions he's been asked to play at right wing. You've got Matt Coronato, who showed off that shot that everyone's so excited about last night. And then you've got, I think, two guys in the mix in Adam Klapka and Walker Dewar, who would have to be that fourth line grinder. What can you bring in terms of energy on the forecheck sorts? And so, you know, when you go through that depth chart, it's hard to envision a spot for Adam Klapka next season or especially next fall. And yet when I start to think of who can kind of slot into what roles, it might as simple as come down to Adam Klapka and Walker Dewar sort of fighting for a fourth line or 13th forward spot. And so I am curious to see what he can do with this end of season audition. He's the leading scorer now this season for the Calgary Wranglers. He's a guy who really tried to throw his weight around in four NHL games so far. And, you know, I'm excited to see how he can start to make a case that, hey, I might be an option for you guys next season on a more permanent basis.
The what's really interesting is, I was thinking about this as you guys were talking about Klapka. You know, one of the guys that we have spoken so glowingly of this year is Martin Pospisil. Imagine Pospisil's brand in Klapka's body. Like,
jeez.
And I'm not suggesting that is what Klapka needs to do. They're different human beings. But I do think, and we've seen this at the American League level, we have seen Klapka go out and really impose with his very intimidating frame. Like, this guy is a beast. He was standing beside us after practice on Monday morning, and this guy is an absolute tower. And it's not, he's 6'8", and he's not a skinny 6'8". Like, this dude is very, very large, and he's a scary man if he wants to be. Now, he's a gentle giant outside of the pads, but, you know, we've seen him be that guy in the American League. We've seen some thundering hits on the boards delivered. He is not the greatest fighter, and he's learning, and so maybe that's not the biggest part of his game right now, but he'll do it. And just the more that you can see him use that, I'm not trying to say go out and hurt people or anything like that, but, you know, what Ryan Huska said on Monday morning was really interesting. Like, we want him to go out there and be a factor on the forecheck. Finish a couple of checks in your first couple of shifts and make it known that, like, hey, that fourth line right winger is he's gonna finish a check on you, and he's gonna make it hurt. And that's what I think is gonna be really important. Just more of that mindset, which I think is hard to do when you're making your NHL debut and you're trying to do all the right things. You're not, don't want to be out of position. You don't want to make a mistake that leads to an odd man rush or an easy exit or whatever the case may be. But to be the guy that he is in the American League, playing in a fourth line role, I think is doable for him, and that's what I want to see.
Yeah, the one thing I do wonder about is, can he play with the pace the Flames need him to at the NHL level? And I guess we'll start to see, assuming he plays in the last road game and then the last home game of the regular season. But Wes, I loved how you went through all the right wingers there, because they do have quite a few options on the right side. And boy, ever since I arrived in Calgary back in 2014, I would say in the vast majority of seasons, it felt like the Flames were looking for more right wingers, and now they've got different types of players and plenty of different options at that position. So it's a good spot to be in moving forward.
Wilsey, have yourself a wonderful rest of your Monday, my friend. We'll see you Tuesday for game 81, which, I don't know if you're aware of this, is the penultimate game of the season.
I was aware of that, and looking forward to that. There should be a good game against the Canucks, and one to go after that. Hard to believe that it's almost at an end here, but we'll chat again tomorrow, guys.
Thank you, Willsy. That's Derek Wills. He's Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg. That is your Daily Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. Race into spring with a freshly clean car. Book one of the 32 service bays at MercedesBenzCountryHills.ca, and they'll revitalize your exterior paint finish. You know, one of the things that I'm really excited to talk about on Tuesday's Flames Talk, getting ready for Calgary and Vancouver, is Connor Zary has got himself he is going to go head-to-head against one of Elias Lindholm, Elias Pettersson, or JT Miller on Tuesday night in Vancouver. Decent chance it's one of Miller or Pettersson, just based on Rick Tocchet having last change. You know, we're talking about evaluating players, and we're talking about the big picture. Boy, does Connor Zary have a huge opportunity in front of him, and the Flames a huge opportunity to evaluate. It's one game, but the Canucks are still playing for something. And I don't know if it's a measuring stick, but it's an interesting kind of look. San Jose is what they are. They're locked into the best odds in the draft lottery. The Canucks are trying to get locked into number one in the Pacific Division. That's their final home game of the regular season on Tuesday. And they're trying to clinch the division. All they need to do is pick up a point, but they'd like to win and clinch. So, like, that's going to be a real test for the Flames on Tuesday, and for Klapka, Zary, Soloviev, who's probably coming back into the lineup, and more. I'm really curious to see what that game has in store for them, and it's a really good evaluation tool for the Flames.
Yeah, it can be an eye-opener for both the kids and an eye-opener for the organization in a good way, I think. You know, it's a great, I love the word evaluation, because that's exactly what it is. It's a great litmus test for maybe where these kids are and also what they might be capable of.
Good program. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your Monday, Mr. Gilbertson.
Yeah, we'll see you tomorrow.
Wes Gilbertson's on Twitter at Wes Gilbertson. Thanks to Shan. Thanks to Cam for producing this hour. Shan knows how to push buttons. He does. He's very good at what he does. We love you, Shan. Love you, Cam.
We do.
That is the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Simplify your life with a security ecosystem. Go to CalgaryLockAndSafe.com to request a security audit and get a tailored solution.